child at the back of assembly at school singing this hymn and being unable to get through the refrain because my throat closed and I was crying. I was in a very small corner and someone somewhere else was in theirs. And I used to fall asleep wondering if there was anybody there.
Join me, Joan Bakewell, in conversation with Ben Kingsley this New Year's Day at 10:05 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. Music from the turn of the 17th century and the early music show in a couple of minutes when Catherine Bott presents the musical life of the Danish court of King Christian IV. Before that, with the time at just after 1 o'clock, here's the latest BBC News. An attempt by the French government to impose a 75% income tax rate on the rich has been rejected by the country's Constitutional Council. It ruled that the tax on earnings above €1 million was unfair, despite its being approved by the French government in its most recent budget. The policy has angered business leaders and some wealthy citizens, including the actor Gérard Depardieu, who said he would emigrate in protest. Six men have been charged with murder in India after a woman who was raped and beaten by a gang died in hospital. The woman who was attacked on a bus in Delhi nearly 2 weeks ago had been taken to Singapore for treatment. The assault has provoked protests around the country and a national debate about violence against women. The international envoy, Lakhdar Brahimi, has said there's still a chance for a negotiated solution to the civil war in Syria. He was speaking in Moscow after talks with the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. The Olympic gold medal winning cyclist and Tour de France champion Bradley Wiggins and the sailor Ben Ainslie have been knighted in the New Year's honours list. There are many awards for winners in the 2012 Olympics and Paralympics, including the cyclist Sarah Storey, who becomes a dame. Mo Farah and Jessica Ennis have been appointed CBEs. Away from the Games, there are CBEs for the singer Kate Bush and the artist Tracy Emin, OBEs for the actors Ewan McGregor and Adrian Lester, and an MBE for the violinist Nicola Benedetti. The former editor of The Times and vice-chairman of the BBC, Lord Rees-Mogg, has died, aged 84. His son, the Conservative MP Jacob Rees-Mogg, said his father learned in the past couple of weeks that he had inoperable cancer of the oesophagus. The former England cricket captain Tony Greig has died of a heart attack in Australia. He was 66 and had been diagnosed with lung cancer. Tony Greig was born in South Africa but played 58 tests for England in the 1970s. And the weather, the heavy rain across many western areas will move eastwards. It'll become showery and temperatures will drop to bring a colder spell. And that's the news and weather on BBC Radio 3 at exactly 3 minutes past one. So now it's time, excuse me, it's time for today's early music show presented by Catherine Bott.
Music by John Dowland, the King of Denmark's Galliard, played by fretwork. And in today's early music show, I'll be looking at the life and passions of that King of Denmark, Christian IV, who was born in 1577 and reigned over Denmark and Norway from the age of 11 until his death at 71 in 1648. And why did Dowland write a Galliard named after him? Well, Christian was a lavish and discerning patron of music and musicians, and Dowland worked for him in Copenhagen for several years. How did a Danish boy king grow up to preside over a musical establishment of more than 80 players and singers? Let's go back to the 11-year-old Christian. After the death of his father, Denmark was ruled by a regency of four, men who were also responsible for giving Christian an appropriate education. He was brought up in the Lutheran Church and studied Latin, French, Italian and German, along with mathematics, military command, fencing, drawing and dancing. For dancing, you need music, and from his earliest years, Christian was passionate about it, and he had a big choice of professionals. The Danish Chapel Royal was large enough to be divided into three departments: singers, instrumentalists, and trumpeters. In the 16th century, most of these musicians were imports from the Netherlands, but Christian, when he grew up and ruled in his own right, was determined to cultivate homegrown talent. He sent his representatives all over the country to seek out likely candidates for an all-Danish Chapel Royal, whenever possible conducting interviews and auditions himself. And he also knew that Danish musicians and composers could benefit from travel abroad, especially to Italy. In 1599, 3 years after his coronation, he sent a group of them to study with Giovanni Gabrieli in Venice, which resulted in a brief burst of Italian madrigal writing in Denmark. Here are three examples of this cross-fertilisation: Tamo Mia Vita by Hans Nielsen and Baci Amorosi e Cari by Melchior Borchgrevink. Before them, La Mia Cruda Brunetta by Måns Pettersson. The consort of music is directed by Anthony Rulli.
Thank you.
amorous madrigals in the Italian style by Danish composers, sung by the Consort of Music. The trip to Venice was a great success. Gabrieli was especially taken with the skills of Borchgrevink, and Pedersen and Nielsen both returned to Italy for further study. Måns Pedersen was probably the most distinguished of these three, and I'll be returning to his music later in the programme. So, at the turn of the 17th century, the fame of Christian's musical establishment had spread throughout Italy, which made it easy to attract Italian musicians to Denmark. One such was the Venetian organist and composer Vincenzo Bertolucci, enticed away from a prestigious post in Poland with the offer of the highest salary ever paid to a musician at the Danish court. He arrived in 1607 and died the next year, but not before composing a great deal of sacred music for the Chapel Royal. This is his motet, Ego Floscampi, performed by the Hilliard Ensemble. Paul Hillier directed the Hilliard Ensemble in Bertolucci's Ego Floscampi. King Christian IV surrounded himself with an entourage of aristocratic army officers and German officials who could be relied upon to agree with him when he decided to, say, wage war on Sweden. His reign was marked by a number of great territorial military clashes in which Christian conducted himself with courage and dash. He lost an eye in a naval battle in 1644, but his victories were mostly inconclusive, and his insistence on entering the Thirty Years' War in 1624 proved disastrous for his country. In his ignoring of wise words and dire warnings from his Council of the Realm, Christian was not unlike our own King Charles I. Eventually, he was forced to do what his government wanted, and he died a bitter and broken man. But it wasn't all fighting. Christian married twice and fathered a dozen or more children, who were, of course, taught music by the best teachers from home and abroad. One of those was the organist Johann Lorenz, who arrived from Germany in 1617. His Preludium in D minor is played now by Gustav Leonhardt on the Raphaelis organ of the Dom Church in Roskilde, Denmark. Gustav Leonhardt with organ music from the court of King Christian IV of Denmark. Among the instrumentalists in the Chapel Royal, English lutenists and viol players were especially favoured. And the greatest catch of all was John Dowland, whose salary was equal to that of an admiral of the Danish fleet. During his years in Denmark, from 1598 to 1606, Dowland published his second and third books of airs and composed part of the Lacrimae. This is Lacrimae Antiqua, played by fretwork.
Thank you.
music by the best-known import to the Danish court, John Dowland, followed there by the Danish harpsichordist Lars Ulrik Mortensen, playing the Paduana Lacrimae by another import to the Chapel Royal, the German organist Melchior Schildt, who studied with Selink. Sacred music was hugely important in Christian Denmark, and he had just the man to supervise its development, Mogens Pedersen, born in around 1583. Pedersen, one of those four musicians sent to Venice for studies with Gabrieli, was the most significant Danish composer of his time, and his gifts were acknowledged in the official permission to travel wherever he can advance his art and learning, granted in 1605. He promptly returned to Venice for 4 years, but took the precaution of dedicating his first book of madrigals to the king, in gratitude for his encouragement. In 1611, Christian, who was busy with affairs of war, sent Pedersen and three others to England to work for his sister Anne, who had married King James I. There's no record of their activities, but odd bits of their music crop up in English manuscripts. When Christian came to England on an unofficial visit in 1614, he took his musicians home with him when it ended, but Pedersen was allowed to stay for another month before returning to Denmark to take up his post as assistant director of the Chapel Royal, the first native musician to be given such a high-ranking job. Pedersen's collection of church music, Pratum Spirituale, contains the earliest surviving settings of Danish words by a Danish composer. Pedersen intended it for the nation, but also hoped it would be used in schools. It contains 37 pieces, most of which are five-part settings in Danish, of Gregorian melodies or Lutheran chorales. But there's also an abbreviated Latin Mass for use in the Lutheran Church. The Kyrie and Gloria from that Mass by Pedersen are sung now by the Hilliard Ensemble. Paul Hillier directed the Hillyard Ensemble in two mass movements by Mogens Pedersen, allowed by his visiting monarch to stay on in England until he was ready to come home. The King had made a previous official visit to England in 1606, an occasion marked by splendid entertainments, including the performance of some of Shakespeare's plays. There's even a possibility that he met Shakespeare. We've already heard The King of Denmark's Galliard by Dowland, but he wasn't the only English composer to salute Christian. Here's The King of Denmark's Health by Tobias Hume.
Thank you.
The Danish group Consortium Hafniense with Tobias Hume's The King of Denmark's Health, followed by Christopher Wilson playing a Spanish pavane by Thomas Robinson, another distinguished English lutenist employed by Christian as teacher to his sister Anne. King Christian was a stickler for detail. He oversaw everything and was a poor delegator of tasks. But this failing was what led directly to later generations turning a blind eye to his ill-advised bellicosity and looking back on his reign as a golden age. So, for example, he wasn't content to set up state-subsidised trading companies. He also personally audited their accounts. He founded an academy for noblemen, subsidised higher education, personally examined the credentials of clergymen seeking promotion, designed and tested new guns, sat as a judge. The list goes on. Apart from music, one of his passions was architecture, and he left some fine palaces, as well as founding several towns in Denmark, Sweden and Norway, to which he gave his name, including Christiania, now Oslo. There's evidence of his hard work in his letters, more than 3,000 of them, all full of detailed questions and suggestions on everything from the eternal laws of God to the brewing of stronger beer. Oh yes, he was a renowned drinker. Here's some music which reflects something of life at his court. A song by a composer who worked in the trumpet department of the Chapel Royal, the German Gabriel Voigtländer, and a coarse and cheerful drinking song by the Danish Søren Terkelsen. But first, to remind us of Dowland's preeminent position at court, Rogers Covey-Crump and Jacob Lindberg perform his song A Shepherd in a Shade.
Began his song. Restore, restore my heart again, which love by thy sweet hath slain. Lest that pen forced by your disdain I sing, fie, fie on love, fie, fie on love, it is a foolish thing. Lest that pen forced by your disdain sing, fie, fie on love, fie, fie on love, it is a foolish thing. Since love and fortune will I honor still your fair and lovely eye, what conquest will it be, sweet nymph, for thee, if I forsake? Restore, restore my heart again, which love by thy sweet looks hath slain. Lest that enforced by your disdain I sing, fie, fie on love, fie, fie on love, it is a foolish thing. Lest that enforced by your disdain I sing, fie, fie on love, save, why have ye cast it forth as nothing worth, without a tomb or grave? Who let it be entombed and lie in your sweet mind and memory? Lest I resound on every warbling string, fie, fie on love, fie, fie. Mit einem Myrtenkranz. Ich
sehr froh, dass ich so Venus gegen mir verzeiht, dass ihr Herz ohne Scherz meine Gunst zu mir neigt. Drum meine Leben sag ich Venus danke mal und freue mich nun mehr der großen Ehre, weil Chloris mich auf neu anlachte ohne Scheu und sie bei freundlich nun mit zu mir tut. Wenn aus der Hand des Himmels rund sie steht, da fühl ich schnell, die Luft macht wieder hell. Gleich als so jetzt ein Tür steht, verschwindet alle Pein, samt Trauren und Gewein, welches mich schmerzlich nicht lange Zeit gepflogen hat, als ich war ganz und gar von ihr so geschieden hat. Nun ich entspringen gehe, weil ich sie wiedersehe, mir ist von Herzen wohl, bin freudevoll, weil ich ihr Mündelein mag ihr Küssen fein, auch mit ihr haben Scherz, so lacht mein Herz. Neulich krieg ich sie bei der Hand, die weicher hat als seid. Ach, was war das, o Freund? Mein Herz vor Liebe gleichsam brannt, ich wurde schon so fort, dass ich nur die drei Wort möchte ich eins mehr keins dazu mal aussprechen kund, denn ihr wart mit Gewalt wurde lahm die Zunge im Mund. Chloris entdeckte mich, meiner erbarmte sich fast wieder ihren Brauch, drum sprach ich auch: Brauch nun Barmherzigkeit, denn es ist hohe Zeit, weil ich fast bin halb tot, dann hat's nicht Not. Ja, ja, ide, lust op in he, ide te lau at vive, amon me, fratetteste, wie I my ei begive, erwert mi mein offrisli, adjoi molesti vere, og se på stand, hvor vil jeg kan, et glas på hånden bære. For vin og drik, må så en ryg, og vin vi glæde både. Hvor ånd og sind, hun giver ind, al glæden over gode. Hun har i mund vort hjertes grund, der står loven til fyrste. Vi var det kæk og uden bræk, at efter blod vi tørste. Den søde saft, den giver kraft, at tale som ej kunne. Hun volde kan, en fattig mand, at vi en almis onde. Hun giver mod til hest og fod, at man får ingen viger. Uddeler kunst og ilden kunst, at tre gang trænde piger. Man derfor ser, at tit det sker, når lungen nu vil flyde. Hvor Pegasus ud i et rus, hos os kan sig udgyde. Her en poet, der en profet, en fysikus hist findes. Den gode Gud og Herrens bud, en anden ene mindes. Et par der står og drages hår, vi tager til sin kåre. Her hujer en, den bøjer ben, en spyr sin ors og håre. I drikke vil på dus dig til, om krigens brader taler. Med rejsen lang og meget svang, en løgner også praler. Jeg fryder mig, er glædelig, og vin Gud er din gave. En dans, en sang, en pin, en klang, vil jeg for alting have. Så vi et glas til rette pas, derpå uddrikke ville. Du glæder som blod, lad mig en god, rundt af din ældres ville.
Host, allow me to be free and merry, and look how I can raise my glass. A drinking song by Terkelsen, performed by Ulrik Kold and Lars Ulrik Mortensen. before it a song in German by Voigtländer, with Dowland beginning that group. Dowland may have been the greatest English name at Christian's court, but it was the acquisition of the services of the greatest German composer of the period, Heinrich Schütz, which was the real coup. It was quite a lengthy relationship which began when Christian's sister Hedwig married the Elector of Saxony in 1602 and discovered Schütz's music. She became his patron, and in 1633 her nephew, Crown Prince Christian, invited Schütz to Copenhagen to provide music for his wedding to a Saxon princess. Sadly, the music for this wedding is lost, but Schütz spent two periods as composer in residence to the Danish court, and will end today with music that he wrote in Denmark, his Symphonie Sacre of 1647, the year before King Christian's death. Musica Fiata and La Cappella Ducale, directed by Roland Wilson, perform the motet Freut euch Herren.
Freut euch, freut euch, freut euch, freut euch.
Motet Freut euch Herren by Heinrich Schütz, performed by Musica Fiata and La Cappella Ducale, directed by Roland Wilson. And that ends the early music show for today. It was presented by Catherine Bott and produced by Rebecca Bean. Listen again to the programme via the Radio 3 website. And in next Saturday's Music Matters, Tom Service will be talking to the countertenor Yestin Davis about John Dowland's life and music, and recreating a musical experiment first attempted by Dowland while he was in the service of King Christian IV of Denmark. That's Music Matters at 12:15 next Saturday afternoon. Meanwhile, in the early music show tomorrow, Lucy Skeeping explores the colourful life of the 18th century soprano Kitty Clive. And that's at the usual time tomorrow, just after the 1 o'clock news.
If it's New Year's Day on BBC Radio 3, it must be... A New Year's morning, and with it the traditional New Year concert of waltzes, polkas and quadrilles live from the Vienna Musikverein. And amongst the musical frolics supplied by the Strauss family, a look ahead to Radio 3's celebration of Verdi's bicentenary, Verdi 200, with an excerpt from Don Carlo. From the Blue Danube to the Radetzky March, with a nod to Verdi along the way. The New Year's Day concert from Vienna, starting at 10:15.
And that'll be presented as ever by Petroc Trelawney. Well, back to this afternoon on Radio 3 in an hour from now. John Rutter is the guest presenter of today's Saturday Classics. Following that, Alan Shipton presents the highlights of jazz record requests from the past year. That's at 5 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, our Opera on Three is a recording from the Metropolitan Opera in New York of Thomas Addis's The Tempest, conducted by the composer himself. That's a recording from last month. Opera on Three from New York at 6. It's a couple of minutes after 2 o'clock now here on Radio 3, and this time on a Saturday is usually when we get a second chance to hear Monday's live broadcast from our regular series at the Wigmore Hall in London. But that season is taking a two-week Christmas break at the moment. So today, we're going to hear the first of two programmes of performances from a concert recorded at the Bath International Music Festival last year. It was given by the Russian-born violinist and former Radio 3 New Generation artist Alina Ibrahimova, and she was playing repertoire for which she's made quite a name for herself, the solo violin music of Bach. Bach wasn't the first composer to write for an unaccompanied violin, but when he produced his sonatas and partitas, three of each, in the years around 1720, they were by far the most sophisticated and complex pieces of their kind to date, as well as being among the most technically demanding. Today we're going to hear Alina Ibrahimova play two of the sonatas, beginning with number 2 in A minor. Like all of the sonatas, it's in four movements, the first slow, noble and improvisatory, and the second, a long, probing fugue. The third movement, Andante, maintains a steadily pulsing accompaniment to a lyrical melody, and the finale creates drama with some agile dynamic contrasts.